And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I
so,
swore a solemn
my family
vow.
Years really ago, intense
I was invited to a party.
Totally different.
I never
I come from a large Irish, Italian, Catholic family.
We're back. It's time for X-Fabulous Stories on WWM Wednesday night at this time, 9:07. We do this, bring stories from X-Fabula. Leah Delaney, the co-founder of X-Fabula, is our lovely co-host on Wednesday nights. And our theme tonight is, we have something coming up next week we should pay attention to.
Yeah, this little thing on November 4th. Yeah. I think everybody's supposed to go out and vote.
That would be great. I mean, everybody, I don't care what you vote for, just as long as you get out there and exercise that right.
Agreed, agreed.
Because I always say, if you don't vote, you've got no reason to complain.
Hello, I agree. Once again, I'm just sitting here and agreeing with everything that you say right now. So, well, in spirit of voting and politics and all that good stuff, I brought a couple stories that have like political sort of themes or relations to the actual storytellers. If you want to start them out right now, we can.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, the first story that we have tonight is from March of 2014, when the theme was Off the Hook. Here's Michael Mengen with his politically incorrect, correct story.
I was very active as a youngster in civics class. I always took it serious about politics and the government that we needed and what we had. So I ran for, I was a student council president, and I ran for school board when I was in my 20s, and I got elected as the youngest school board member in the state of Wisconsin. In 1992, Jerry Brown ran for president, and I was wild and crazy living in Waukesha County, and I decided to volunteer for his campaign. So I became Jerry Brown's campaign coordinator. And for those of you who don't know Jerry Brown, he was considered Governor Moonbeam because he was so progressive and he was a good, intelligent man. And I happened to be following his campaign throughout the state. Nobody knew who he was. He basically was ignored by the media, but we were going into television stations and doing these things. And then he left and came back a month later, and he won the primary in Alaska. He won the Colorado primary. And all of a sudden, what happened when he came into Wisconsin is he became instantly recognized by the media like flies on shit. They all of a sudden became Jerry Brown's, and I was in this circle where I just said, this is how it works in politics. I think I should run for office. So in 1994, I'm a professional energy engineer. In 1994, I was working in the energy efficiency field trying to save energy for the state of Wisconsin, and nobody was talking about energy. Tommy Thompson was running for governor, and Chuck Quella was running against them. So I decided, hey, nobody's talking about energy. I'll run for governor. Now, you just can't run for governor. You have to actually go out there and collect 2,000 signatures, and you have 6 weeks to collect signatures, starting June 1st till July 4th. So it's a full-time job. If any of you know what it's like to collect a signature, it's a pain in the ass. Thank God for the festivals in Milwaukee, the Pride Fest, the German Fest, the Irish Fest. And I got so good at it that I'd have four clipboards, and I'd go for a group of four people because I only had to say it one time. And that way, if you got rejected, you didn't have to worry about saying it over again. So I got on the ballot, and I basically ran as a camping candidate because I had a $1,000 campaign pledge. That's all I had to spend, but I figured I could travel across the state, stay at state parks, spend very little money, and visit small town newspapers and radio stations. I was having a great time running as the camping candidate, and a local newspaper decided to do an article about it, and I got 5,000 votes. I spent $1,000, so that was 20 cents a vote. Tommy Thompson spent $5 million to get $1 million votes, so he spent $5 a vote, so I was much more cost effective. So anyway, my whole idea was to save 30% of the state's energy use to pay for health care and education. What a novel idea. 98, nobody was talking about energy, so I decided, okay, 1998, I did it on 1,000, I can do it for $2 less, so I spent $998 to run in 98, and nobody paid attention even less that time, so I finally said, people don't care. Well, 2002 came along, and I thought, oh God, I don't want to go through this again, but I decided it's time. So I went out, and I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have fun, and I'm not going to worry about the media. So I heard an article in the radio about a guy who ran for office in England dressed up in a gorilla suit. And I said, That's just perfect. So I decided, I bought 3 gorilla costumes, and I decided to run as the gorilla candidate for office as a joke. And my campaign was a gorilla attack on state spending, and I was handing out peanuts because if any of you remember, Wisconsin got $6 billion in tobacco settlements, and Scott, the lieutenant governor, whatever, McCallum, handed it away for $400,000. So I was campaigning in the state wearing a gorilla suit, going to county fairs, handing out peanuts for what was left of our tobacco settlement, and I was having a ball. Well, then all of a sudden, we had the state, home run derby. We had this all-star game, and I decided to campaign at the home run derby in my campaign gorilla suit, and I had a campaign sign that basically said, gorilla attack on state spending. Well, I got arrested for campaigning in a gorilla suit. The following week, at the circus parade, I decided, what's a circus parade without a gorilla? So I campaigned at the gorilla, campaigned in the gorilla suit, and I got arrested again. These two arrests were basically, they weren't arrests because I basically volunteered to be arrested, and the officers arrested me. Well, it turns out, to make a long story short, both of these arrests were thrown out at a hearing later on when I basically went in front of a judge and I said, you know, my arrest was basically because I was running as a campaign in a gorilla suit, and the judge said, that's ridiculous. How can you get arrested for campaigning in a gorilla suit? And I said, that's my point. So he threw the things out, and I was off the hook.
And that was Michael Mangan with his off the hook story from March 2014 event.
Off the hook sounds like the perfect theme for political stories.
Yeah. And gorilla suits.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
We are listening to stories that have somewhat of a connection to what's happening next week with our midterm elections around the country, and of course here in Wisconsin too. Some very important things to be voted on, and as we say, we hope that you will do your duty and get out there and vote for what you believe in. Correct?
Correct.
All right. We got another story too.
This one is from a gentleman named Paul Warlosky. Back in January, because there's no such thing as that, but January 2012, we had an event at the Baby Brew House, which was called Faking It. And again, doesn't matter what side of politics you land on, just support and go to it this November 4th. Here's Paul Warlosky with his Faking It story.
So I am a middle school teacher, but this story is not about my students, nor is it about teaching. It's about when I was 16. And when I was 16, I was thinking about two things. Alcohol and sex, and how to get those. And in my case, being 16, the alcohol was there every once in a while, but the girls, no. And I know it's very sad, isn't it? So I swear that I did not premeditate this scheme that I'm about to tell you about, my faking it. It just kind of happened like most things in my life. And I don't really know where I even got the idea. And as I was writing my notes for this story, I was thinking that it started when I was in a high school history class and we were discussing the Middle East history or something like that. And I hate to even admit this in a crowd because I can imagine what your politics are. But when I was 16, George H.W. Bush came to Eau Claire. And I was kind of like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to go check it out. And I asked him a question. I raised my hand. And being a 16-year-old kid, I was all excited. And he called out to me and he said, yes, young man. And I said, sir, what do you think about the Middle East? And he went on to talk in some ways that I had no idea what he was talking about. But it sounded really cool. And I think that's where it started because I'm thinking, if this dude is answering my question, then I need to be part of his campaign. And so that's the story I'm going to go with, because I'm sure it had nothing to do with the campaign manager or the campaign manager's big fancy house or the campaign manager's daughter or the really, really big wine cellar that the campaign manager had in his house. Had nothing to do with that. So I don't actually remember what I did for this campaign. I have no idea. I think I recall like little buttons and bumper stickers that I passed out. I don't think I did actually anything except try to talk to this girl. And as you know, Bush didn't make it that time. And frankly, I had no idea what his politics were. I had no idea. The only thing that I knew about this guy was that he used to run the CIA, and he used to fly fighter jets to a 16-year-old boy. That was pretty cool. But in terms of politics, I had no idea. But all that I remember is that on the convention night in Detroit, that 1980, there was a party at the campaign manager's house. And so at this house, I discovered wine. Because I didn't have to steal whiskey, that awful whiskey from my dad's liquor cabinet, and like water it down with 7-Up, and I didn't really like beer at the time. And so when we got to the house, of course, there was the girl, and I remember her being this tall, beautiful girl, but I don't even remember what she looked like. I tried talking with her and we talked, and there was like a mutual attraction at first, but then being a 16-year-old boy, the only thing I was thinking about was making out with her. And so she rebuffed my advances a couple of times, and finally I realized I was just on the stairs slightly drunk, and I called my dad. We didn't talk on the way home. He wasn't happy with me. And I realized that sometimes we fake ourselves. We delude ourselves to, in pursuit of a goal, we kind of ignore what's really inside of us. And clearly, I'm not much of a George Bush fan. And I have vowed that maybe as a 48-year-old man, I'm no longer really pursuing those same two things. At least I'm going to be honest about it if I am. But I also know that I'm not going to join any presidential campaigns just for the wine and the girls. Unless, of course, Halle Berry joins the Obama campaign and offers personally me a 12-year-old scotch, then all bets are off. Thanks.
And that was Paul Warlosky with his Faking It story, which is sort of politically charged theme today.
Politically charged for us for this evening. What do you have coming up as Ex-Fabula in the next month or so?
Well, behind us, we just had our first event last week on the 22nd. It was a crossing over, if you recall, and gotta say, people showed up with stories. We had a lot of new storytellers, and Milwaukee, the bar has been upped here, definitely. So that was a really great event. And our next event coming up is going to be on November 13th at the Hot Water Warehouse, which is over in the Fifth Ward area.
Yes.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Do you want to know the theme to that?
I want to know the theme right now.
My nemesis.
Oh.
So, yeah, I actually have some stories about that, but I'm not going to go into any great
speaking
detail.
Of raising the bar, that theme kidding. Will do it. That theme will raise the bar for stories. Definitely.
Yeah, I think people will show up. Hopefully no fights will break out. No. But, you know, you can have an enemy with a lot of different things. It doesn't necessarily have to be with a person per se. So,
where can I find out all things Ex-Fabula?
All things Ex-Fabula will be at exfabula.com, and that's E-X-F, as in Frank, A-B-U-L-A.com.
Information, upcoming shows, workshops, everything?
Oh, everything. The whole enchilada.
All right. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you, Bruce.